This won't end well for Illinois.
Here's a three. It ended well.
McCourt for the win. In the air. It is up. And it is gone.
Fourth and 16. Pressure comes. Emmanuel Bebe with the ball in the air. Makes the catch.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of Oski Talk. My name is Anthony Pasquale with Patrick Catazone. We've got football, we've got basketball, we've got all of it, and we'll get right into it with the front page. We're going to lead off for the second time in 3 weeks. Illinois went on the road and beat a ranked team. Illinois beat Minnesota this past weekend 14-6. It was a low-scoring game, but P.J. Fleck and the Golden Gophers could not get anything going against the Illini defense. Illinois came out on top with an upset, and now a bowl game isn't totally out of reach.
Yeah, I mean, it's closer in reach, but you still have two difficult games on the road in Iowa and then back at home versus Northwestern. But it was a good win. I will say that. I will say they dominated pretty much the whole game.
Yeah, they didn't give up a point until the fourth quarter. So kudos to Ryan Walters and that defense. They were phenomenal.
Yeah, the defense has really improved, especially in the second half of the season.
It's almost to the point where we might have to start getting worried about Ryan Walters leaving the program.
I know. I agree.
Almost that good.
Yeah. And with some improvements next year, hopefully. I mean, you know, that's a good thing. When you're able to get guys who are good enough to go to better programs, that's a positive thing. But I want to say this, too. It is important for whoever is going to coach the Illinois Fighting Illini for the next 10 years to have P.J. Fleck's number.
Yeah.
That is extremely important. Like, you need to be able to beat P.J. Fleck somewhat consistently if you want to win games in the Big Ten West.
How about this? Statistically, historically, a Brett Bielema coached team has never lost to Minnesota. So he's got Minnesota's number. Keep that going and convert that into maybe some other schools. Maybe a Northwestern or a Wisconsin. If you could get on top of some of these programs in the West, I think you're setting up for some success year after year.
You are, and like I said, the thing is too. Like I was trying to think about it. I was like, what was Lovey's record against P.J. Fleck? Because you got to count the Western Michigan game he lost in 2016. I think he was 1-5.
They had the one game where they destroyed Minnesota. I think that was Dad's weekend our sophomore year.
Yeah.
And they destroyed him. And then I think every other game against P.J. Fleck, including the Western Michigan one, was a loss. So, yeah. You've got to get these coaches where your guy has their number, and it seems like Bielema has that start over P.J. Fleck.
Yeah, and that's a good place to be, and it's important. When you talk about, like, programs, if you're going to create a successful program, being able to beat P.J. Fleck in the 2020s is going to be very important. So I was happy from the perspective of that. I will say I thought the offense was atrocious again.
But Chase Brown wasn't.
Chase Brown was good, as always. Chase Brown is good. The offensive lines struggled a little bit again. I felt like they do get Chase Brown yards.
They're good run blocking. They just struggle pass blocking.
Yeah.
But and we know this team is kind of a run-first team, so at least that's a good start.
Yeah, it is a good start. But I just think that I just don't even know what it is. I don't know if it's has the system just not worked for them. They not figured it out. But they own Penn State, and then Rutgers didn't look great. And then this game, I didn't think they were amazing.
But it's funny because Rutgers was their best passing game of the year.
Right.
But since Nebraska. So I think it's Tony Petersen knows how to run an offense that runs the ball, struggles with an offense that passes the ball. Yeah. Plus we've got two quarterbacks now, one that struggle throwing. But right. I do think if you keep pounding Chase Brown, I mean, he had 32 carries for 147 yards. That's awesome.
Yeah.
And obviously they didn't get Josh McCray going as much as we've seen in past games, but they didn't need to. They controlled the clock, and the defense was incredible.
Spectacular. Yeah.
They had 6 sacks, 2 interceptions. I think Kirby Joseph, I don't have the stat in front of me, but only player in the country with 4 interceptions, 3 fumble recoveries, and 2 sacks or something like that. He's been phenomenal for the Illini in the secondary. Isaiah Gay had 1.5 sacks. Tariq Barnes had 8 tackles and a pick. Like, this defense, incredibly shorthanded. No Jake Hansen. No
Calvin Hart.
Calvin Hart. Sidney Brown is playing injured. And they had one other injury on the defense. I can't remember off the top of my head. And they're playing great against a ranked team on the road. And they're stealing wins like that. So I think it's you can definitely sense this program has some momentum. They're moving in the right direction. Bye week this week, and then they close out against Iowa and Minnesota. And at this point, after beating Minnesota and Penn State on the road, you have to wonder, like, maybe this team is good with a few bad losses.
Yeah. And
I don't know. That's just, because, like, it's, we should have beat
we
say Purdue.
This every week, I feel like. Yeah, it's like it's, we're right now we should be 6-1 in the Big Ten, in my opinion. If you take away let me put this in because I don't want to sound like a mega homer, but if you take away one drive in a bunch of games in two games specifically.
Purdue and Maryland. Those are wins.
Rutgers game, a little bit unexcusable, but you feel like if you were in a spot, a better spot towards that game, maybe you win it, right?
Yeah, I think you look back at this season, Virginia and Wisconsin were losses. You cannot negotiate those losses.
Yeah.
Every other game, Illinois, looking back on it, every game Illinois should have won besides those two.
Yeah, and I think Rutgers was a loss. Okay. But
they'd still be bowling if that's a loss. Yes. So. Right. And UTSA,
they'd be tied for the Big Ten.
Right,
West.
That's what I'm saying. Like
with two potentially big games, winnable games coming up.
Yeah, I mean, and you're right. Not to sound like super homers, or we should have been Big Ten champ, whatever. But this team is not as bad as the record shows. Is I think the point that I'm trying to get at.
And I think the future's bright. I really like what the defensive line did. This week. I think the future of them is going to be good. I'm really excited about Keith Randolph, what he's going to be able to do in the future. Jerzon Newton was pretty damn good as well. So and Kirby Joseph, he'll be around for
Two
more
and
years.
I'm excited to see more out of him. Blake Hayes named Special Teams Player of the Week once again. Cost me a couple of dollars there. Nice. with the punts, but he was great. James McCord has been solid, and Brandon Peters, I think he only threw the ball 10 times. 7-9 for 80 yards and a touchdown. It was pretty much all Chase Brown offensively, and I think he became the first player since Rashard Mendenhall to have 2 games of over 145 rushing yards on the road. So kudos to him. I think by now he's got to be approaching somewhere around 1,000 yards, which would be, I think, he's at 851 for the season. So barring an injury, he should get there, which I think would be the first time since Reggie Corbin our freshman year. So he's been awesome.
Yeah, he's been great. Great running back. I mean, we talk about the future. He's certainly a guy who's going to be here for a while. I think he has 2 more years of eligibility after this one.
Yeah, he's only a sophomore class-wise. So.
Right. Plus, he transferred in. He got playing time immediately. So he's a sophomore. He's a junior technically, but he's got the COVID year.
Right. So he's got 2 more years of school.
Yeah. So he's a guy that you're going to have for a little bit while and going to be able to count on. If you could give him a running back, I mean, or give him a quarterback, it's all open, man. And I think that 1-2 punch of him and
McCray
is going to be really good. So the future's bright. That's what it comes down to. It's frustrating when you lose games to Rutgers and you're like, what the hell was up, Bielema? But then you have games like this and you're like, well,
He's building.
He's got to work on that offense. Something needs to change.
Yeah, but bye week this week, next weekend they're at Iowa at Kinnick. You and I will both be there, so we'll break that one down with a preview next week and a breakdown afterwards. But let's shift gears into basketball. Their season is officially underway with a 71-47 win over the Jackson State Tigers Tuesday night at State Farm Center. Now, obviously, that's awesome. You're 1-0. You destroyed Jackson State, but you were without Kofi Coburn, who will be missing the following game against Arkansas State, which we'll preview in a minute, and then Monday's game against Marquette. Also, Andre Curbelo, Trent Frazier, and Austin Hutcherson were out with injury, and Damonte Williams was coming back from injury.
Yeah, I was at the game, I was covering it, and I saw them, and my mouth dropped. I was like, oh, we are without four of our best players.
Arguably our four best players.
Yeah. Maybe Granson's in there, but yeah, that was bad. Our
definitely
at the very
1-2-3.
Our 1-2-3 are out.
Yep.
Our three best players.
And
are
here's
out.
The other thing: our 1-2-3 of ball handlers out.
Yeah,
Andre Curbelo with Trent Frazier as your secondary ball handler. You're feeling as confident as any coach in the country with those two guys. Both of them out. You're like, okay, we've ran Austin Hutcherson at the port all summer in case this happened. He's out too. They didn't have. They played point guardless for 40 minutes and put up 71 points. Coleman Hawkins brought up the ball at least 10 times. Alfonso Plummer, who is a two-guard born and bred, brought up the ball quite a few times. Damonte Williams brought up the ball quite a few times. And I think Omar Payne even ran the floor once. So that was an extremely shorthanded spot to be in your first game of the season as the number 11 team in the country. And they won by 24 points.
Yeah, and they did well. And it was fun to see the new guys come and get some minutes. But Coleman Hawkins, man, he played great.
He
played
13
really,
and 8.
Really good. And he's got a fire on the floor. Like he's
going to get a lot of technicals.
He's going to get yelled at a lot.
Yeah.
And he talks about it afterwards. I was talking to this with some fellow Illini journalists. I was like, man, Coleman really likes talking on the floor. He's going to run into some trouble.
He won't ever miss an opportunity to chirp no matter what.
Yeah,
down
no matter
30,
what.
Up 30, don't care. He's talking.
Yeah.
And, like, that's who he is. That's fine. Like, you know that. You just got to make sure you can control that.
Yeah.
Because we saw a little bit of it in Damonte 2 years ago. He got a couple of texts. I remember Iowa. He got in with, was Bohannon or, no, it was McCaffrey's kid. Mm-hmm. He got right up in the face. And, like, love it, but, like, control it, hone it in a little bit.
And what I do love about it is that he didn't really do that last year because he couldn't live up to it.
But now he can.
Now he can.
Yeah.
So now he's doing
25 pounds heavier. He's making shots. So yeah, he was great. 13 points, 8 rebounds. Jacob Granderson was awesome. 20 points, 5 boards in just 23 minutes. He also got a few threes cooking. So that was nice to see. Big surprise for me was BBV. Had a pretty good game, 5 points, 10 rebounds. He tweeted about it. It's a single-double. But he was good. He took some minutes from Omar Payne. Payne only had 17. Verdonk had 21. So as long as somebody's producing in that depth, that's good too. And I also want to give a little shout-out to Damonte Williams. His numbers won't jump off the stat sheet, but he was pretty good in terms of leading on the floor when nobody else was pretty much capable of it.
Yeah, I will say this, BBV is a tank.
He's huge.
Dude's a tank, man. He's a big dude. I love that. I love that he's like that. Omar Payne. So that's all I gotta say about BBV. I'm going down your list. Omar Payne. He's got to work on some things.
He's got some room to.
He's got some room to grow, and that's kind of why you got a guy like Tim Anderson on this team.
Uh huh.
Talent development. Tim Anderson has great connections to Chicago. He's going to do a lot of great things for recruiting-wise. But that guy can develop talent. So that's what Tim Anderson's going to have to do is focus a little bit more on Omar Payne, get him up to, standards. The dude, defensively, great. I really thought defensively Omar Payne, he doesn't give up on it. He's willing to grind. He doesn't give up space.
Super long arms.
Yeah,
can block any shot.
Great vision when it comes to defense where the ball is moving. What he can do without getting a foul. Offensively, he's playing high school basketball, it seems like. He's playing. See, it looks like he's playing a game where he's not getting challenged.
But he is getting challenged.
And he is getting challenged.
That's
he's
problem.
Playing better competition. And when you play a team like JSU, I think it's easier to recognize a little bit.
Fair.
Because he gets away with some of it. But, like, it you know, he has the, like, he'll be at the top of the key, ball in his hands, and he waits there for 4 seconds. You got to move that ball, man, because that ball is so easily stolen. Even though
you got it poked
6'9",
away quite a bit.
Yeah, you're getting poked away, and he's looking like a you know, he, like, doesn't know what happened. Like, it's, you got to move that ball quicker and know, have better spatial awareness offensively. But I do not believe, or I fully believe he is completely talented, and I believe they will be able to develop that talent a little
bit. Yeah, I agree.
But in terms of minutes this year, I've heard Coleman Hawkins wants to play more of the four instead of the five, so Omar Payne will probably be playing that five position when Kofi needs to come out a little bit more. So you will probably see Omar Payne a decent amount.
Yeah, I think so too. And then looking at the rest of the box score, freshman-wise, didn't see a ton out of Brandon Pajimski, but Luke Goody and RJ Melendez continue to impress me. They both had about the same amount of minutes, 18 and 17. Goody had 6 points, 4 boards. Melendez had 5 points, 3 boards. They both were a couple of missed layups away from assists, too. Melendez had that really nice drive where he dished it off. But they both look really good on the floor. I like both of them a lot. Goody, his maturity sticks out to me.
Yeah. No, you'll see it. And there was that one funny play, the putback.
That he missed?
The missing. The putback was just like, I don't know, that just looked like arc basketball.
Yeah, it looked like near you
out there.
Luke
Goody could do that because he's 6'7 and a good basketball player.
I think he thought he was way closer to the rim than he was, and he just wasn't. Ball didn't come close.
It looked like something you'd see in the arc. It's funny.
But he got right back up, and I think he got a steal or a rebound right after that. So, I mean, his effort is noticeable.
He's good. He's really good. I liked him. It was fun seeing those guys early. RJ Melendez, another guy I think in the future you'll see a lot of. When you look at this recruiting class with Sincere and Epps, who just both signed, impressive. Glad that they locked that up. Obviously, I was nervous Epps wouldn't, but I'm really excited about Epps coming on this team. They're going to have a ton of talent in the future. Like, they can reload quickly. Do I think they'll be top three in the Big Ten next year? Absolutely not, but will they be top seven and make the tournament? Yeah, they probably should next year. When you have a guy like Coleman Hawkins coming back, and probably Kofi Coburn and Curbelo, and you add
Coburn, Epps. I don't think so.
Really? I had this discussion today, if we want to have this a little bit later. Let's have it now.
I think he'll be gone.
Wouldn't be shocked if he comes back again. Because here's my thing. If he makes $1 million this year.
Fair.
It makes no sense to go to the NBA.
That's fair.
Because he won't make that in the NBA,
but
the G League.
He also said if he stays 2 more years, you will not be able to argue that he's the best Illini player of all time. Like, numbers-wise, stats-wise, like, it's going to be him if he stays for the next 2 years. He'll have probably the rebound record. He'll be a 3-time All-American, 2-time first team.
Mm-hmm.
And probably back-to-back National Player of the Year.
Yeah.
Like,
maybe. We'll
or at least in that conversation. Big Ten Player of the Year, for sure.
Big Ten Player of the Year, for sure. And he'll probably be in that conversation if he does it again. I think if he does it again, he'll be more likely to win National Player of the Year than he is this year.
Yeah.
Like, he'll go into as the mega favorite.
Like a Luka Garza.
Like Luka Garza was basically given it at the beginning of the year last year.
Right.
That's what Kofi will walk into. No.
But they do have a game on Friday night. They host Arkansas State. Arkansas State comes to Champaign, 1-0 on the year. They had a nice win, and they were led in that game by, I'm going to say, Desi Sills, 21 points. So they've got big scoring production from the guard position. If Trent Frazier is back, I'm not worried, but we don't know if Frazier. We know Kofi will be out. He's out until after the Marquette game. We don't know about Frazier, Curbelo, or Hutcherson. Hopefully one of them is back, or two or three.
Yeah. Hopefully. Here's what I imagine. I think Curbelo will be back. Trent will be gone. Obviously, Kofi's gone, and Hutcherson's gone. I think Curbelo's the only guy you get back.
From concussion protocol?
Yeah, from concussion protocol. And I only say that because he's been practicing a little bit.
Yeah, the other guys haven't, cleared. But they've said they're day-to-day.
Yeah, I believe he's cleared. It's just whether or not they think he can play, and he's truly cleared.
Or, like, maybe they knew they could win without him, so don't worry or risk him getting hurt
re-injured.
More.
Yeah. good a potential good idea there.
Actually, also, before we get into the preview, you touched on it a little bit, but this week was also official signing day.
Yeah.
So we did lock up Sincere Harris and Jaden or Jalen Epps?
Jalen Epps.
So those are two very strong additions, I think. Like you mentioned, Jaden Epps, yeah. I think those are two really strong additions. Brad kind of said Illinois is turning into guard U, and you almost can't argue at this point with Io and Adam Miller and Curbelo, Goody, Melendez, Pajimski, all these guys committing to Illinois. They're developing a nice little string of guards. Hopefully Coburn can bring more bigs here. But like you said, they should be poised to stay competitive in the Big Ten after this year.
Yeah, Jaden Epps is a guy who I am really high on. I like Sincere Harris as well, but Jaden Epps, I think, has potential to be a Big Ten Player of the Year in the future. Like, he is going to be really good. He comes in as a combo guard kind of guy, and Sincere's a little bit in the same position. Super high on him. I'm excited. Illinois, need to pick up another forward or a power forward or a center.
Beating out Kansas for Epps is big.
Yeah. That's all Chester Frazier, too. Chester Frazier knew that recruiting area coming from VT. So,
yeah,
that
good.
Huge
good.
Dub for Chester. I mean, the staff, the rebuild of the staff, and I don't know if I was watching this, too, because I was curious who's going to be more proactive in the game plan and stuff and who's going to be more of the recruiting side. Geoff Alexander, I think, is that guy who's going to be more game planning coach. But I really do feel like Chester Frazier. I was surprised. Cause I really think Chester Frazier is like the offense that they ran at Virginia Tech, and their defense was very solid as well. Like, I really thought Chester Frazier might be a little bit more involved in the game plan, and that was just something I was looking at. I only paid attention for probably 5 minutes of the game. It's like, who's up here? Who's talking to who? And that was just an observation. I don't know if that's truly fact, but I think Frazier's a guy that can really, really coach basketball. So,
and recruit it.
And obviously recruit. Yep.
So yeah, good signing day. Hopefully some more either transfers or other commits roll in for the bigger guys on the team. But guards look solid, and now I'll let you get into what you were saying about Arkansas State.
Yeah. They won their first game. They played a Delaware team.
Harding, I think.
A team
Hardwick,
there,
something like that.
Blue Mountain College. We were completely off.
What was I looking at?
I don't even know where Blue Mountain College is. We're about to find out.
No, it says they played Harding, 81-15. What are we? We got two different.
Oh, that's weird. What am I on? Men's
does that basketball. Say they're playing
yeah,
Illinois
is, this
next?
This is the official one.
ESPN said they played Harding.
So we don't
what
know.
What was the score?
72-66.
Oh, is it close game? Does it say they play Illinois next?
Yeah. Oh, and then they play. Wait a minute. This was a. I bet this was a.
No, but it says
that was an exhibition game.
Oh, Harding's right there. Okay, yeah. Cool.
So they played Harding.
Phew.
Okay.
Okay, we're on the same page.
Same page. I'm
Sills
glad.
Did have 21 points against Harding.
Yeah. He's gonna be a little bit of an issue.
I don't think he's
team.
An issue if Frazier plays.
Yeah. I agree. I don't think Frazier's gonna play though.
Ah, yeah.
I really think he's gonna be out. They're gonna be a better team than we saw. I don't really have too much on them because we haven't really seen them and couldn't watch them.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, their big guy is their second biggest scorer, Omier Norchad. Normichad Omier. That's what it is, my bad.
And they might have an issue against him because Kofi's not in the picture.
Yeah, he's a freshman, though.
Okay, raw.
Yeah, I'm really not concerned by this team, even without...
Even with those four guys out, if all four are out, you should still win this game.
Yeah, and they don't list him. They list his height or weight. I'm going to go say that this guy's 6'9", just based off photographs.
220.
Yeah, that's my guess. Okay, here they go. Now they have weights. They didn't have weights. 6'7", I was... They're close, 6'7", 323 pounds. So they're not big.
232. 323 would be
a
unit.
Yeah, it'd be huge. My bad. They don't have a guy taller. They have 6'9", Keon Wesley. He's a little bit of a lankier guy. Yeah, I mean, it's going to be the same recipe as the last game. You know, give the guy with experience on the starting lineup, Jacob Granson, the ball, and let Coleman Hawkins do his thing.
Yeah, I think we're going to obviously keep our eyes open for who ends up suiting up. If they do, I'd expect any of them to be pretty limited. But this is a game Illinois should be able to win no matter who's out there.
Yeah. A little score prediction.
Actually, let me ask you this. Prediction on who plays first.
Curbelo, DeMonte, Grandison, Hawkins, Payne.
That's your starting five?
Yeah.
Okay. Who started last game?
Everyone except Plummer is in there.
For Curbelo, right. Yeah. Okay. I'll go... I think you get Hutch back, and I think you get Curbelo back. Frazier probably sits out again. So you'll have same starting lineup as you, Hutcherson first off the bench, probably. And I think you feel okay about that.
Yeah.
But, yeah, let's get into some score predictions. I think – what's the line at? Have you seen yet? Is it probably not up because we don't know who's playing?
I'll check it out.
Last game was only 12.5, and Illinois covered that massively.
Yeah.
So we'll see – Pat's checking that right now, but I think I'm going to take Illinois to win this one. I don't expect it to be very close. They really didn't get tested last time, and I don't really expect them to get tested all that much this time around. I'll take Illinois 86, Arkansas State 70. A nice 16-point win, and you're 2-0 on the season.
Yeah, it looks like... Illinois minus 20.
Okay.
So
I'm going to change then because I think they're going to cover whatever it is. I'll say Illinois 86, Arkansas State 63.
That over is 140. That's a nice over.
We're 21.
Yeah, we're 21. We can talk about gambling a little bit.
Not in Illinois.
I don't think – yeah. Wait, what do you mean by that?
You can't bet on Illinois.
Oh, yeah, you can't
Illinois.
Bet on them. That's right. Oh, crap, so you can't bet any of this.
Yeah, we won't be able to.
So if you're listening from any other state other than Illinois.
Hammer them.
hammer Illinois. No, I actually don't think they're going to cover the spread. I think it'll be closer than we expected, but I think it'll be like closer to 15-point differential. Probably
which is
like
still a nice win.
Yeah, an 85 to, let's go 85. What's 85 minus 15?
70.
85-70.
We're journalism guys, not math guys.
Yeah, I don't do math. I haven't taken a math class in like 3 years now.
Since Stat 100 first semester freshman year.
Yep.
Carly Flanagan.
Yep.
Shout out Carly if you listen to the podcast.
If you are an Illinois student, you definitely know Carly.
Then you
Flanagan.
Know Carly, yeah.
Yeah. She's probably the most beloved professor on campus.
Absolutely. So... we will be back on Sunday to recap this game against Arkansas State and preview Illinois' game on Monday against Marquette. That one will be tough without Kofi, and we'll get into that on Sunday. But for now, thank you guys for listening. Make sure to get to the State Farm Center if you can tonight, to watch the Illini. But for now, thank you guys all for listening to Oski Talk. For Patrick, I'm Anthony. ILL.
I and I.